And we cross now to today's briefing at the Beehive.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Kia ora. Namihi nui ki a koutou katoa. It's day 27 of our lockdown and we remain at alert level 4. We'll be waking up to alert level 3 next Tuesday morning. Today I'm here to set out what moving to alert level 3 next will look like for our schools, our early learning services and our tertiary institutions, and also a little bit of a comment on what it might mean here at Parliament. I'll update you on the government's engagement with the education sector to get ready to move to level 3, including key decisions and dates. We'll talk more about the health guidance around the spread of COVID-19 amongst children, and I'm sure the Director General will also comment on that. How our response in education compares internationally. I can give you the latest information on our distance learning program, and I'll also brief you a little bit about how Parliament may operate under level 3. But first I'll hand over to the Director General of Health to give you his usual update.
Thank you, Minister. Kia ora koutou katoa. So today New Zealand's total number of new COVID-19 cases is 5, made up of 2 new confirmed cases and 3 probable cases. All of these new cases are linked to existing cases. The new combined total of both confirmed and probable cases in New Zealand is 1,445. Sadly, today I am reporting the death of a woman in her 70s who had COVID-19 infection. This woman was one of 6 residents from St Margaret's Hospital and Rest Home in Te Atatū in Auckland, who has been transferred to Waitakere Hospital on April 17. The woman, who had an underlying health condition, died yesterday. Our thoughts are with this woman's family and friends, and we ask that their privacy is respected at this difficult time. Now, residents were transferred from St Margaret's as a number of staff were in precautionary and continue to be in precautionary self-isolation following close contact with people who are confirmed COVID-19 cases. And this has impacted on the facility's ability to maintain full staffing. And so, in addition to those 6 residents who were transferred to Waitakere Hospital because they had COVID-19 infection, a further 9 residents from St Margaret's were transferred to North Shore Hospital on 18th of April. These residents are not COVID-19 positive, but are considered close contacts, so are being monitored as well as receiving the usual care they would have if they had been back at St Margaret's. There are now 1,006 cases of COVID-19 who have recovered, an increase on 32 yesterday. Today there are 12 people in hospital with COVID-19 infection. This includes 3 in ICUs in Middlemore, Dunedin and North Shore Hospital. I'm pleased to say that none of these people are in a critical condition. There are still 16 significant clusters and 4 more cases have been linked to extant clusters, including 3 of the cases we're reporting today. In terms of testing, yesterday there were 3,203 tests processed around the country, and the new total is now 89,503. The stock and supply for testing is still over 83,000 complete tests. And just a word on testing, and we will put these graphs on our website after today's stand-up, but we're seeing from ESR reporting surveillance of what is called influenza-like illness, that calls to Healthline and our monitoring of ILI through HealthStat, which is through general practices, and through the Flu Tracker app, as well as our monitoring of what are called SARI, severe acute respiratory infections in hospital, have all plummeted, as we might expect over those last three to four weeks. And that explains, that's a very good reason for why our testing has dropped, because there simply is not not people out there who have got respiratory symptoms. However, I'm still pleased to see that we're processing over 3,000 tests a day. We will continue some community-based testing this week, and in particular that's happening in Tairawhiti, in Taranaki and in Northland. And I know in Tairawhiti, and you can see this on their website, during this week there are mobile clinics around Gisborne from Monday to Friday, and starting today some mobile testing moving its way up the east coast to test those more rural communities. I'll finish there and hand back to you, Minister.
Thank you, Director General. The first thing I'd like to do is give you a brief update on what will happen here at Parliament next week. As we move to Level 3, Parliament will meet again on Tuesday, the 28th of April. The exact details for Parliament's sitting next week will be confirmed following a meeting of the Business Committee tomorrow, but I do expect that the sitting will adopt the same practices that New Zealanders across the country will use during their working day at Level 3, and that includes the correct physical distancing in the debating chamber. I also expect that there will be reduced numbers of MPs in the House in order to minimise the amount of travel that MPs will be undertaking. As you will know, many of the normal facilities in the parliamentary complex, including the Copperfields Cafe and other catering facilities, will not be available whilst the House is operating, and we will be keeping as few essential people around the complex as possible. For this reason, we can expect that the normal sitting hours of the House will vary over the next 3 weeks. Business to be considered by Parliament will include question time, ministerial statements, essential urgent legislation that's directly related to the COVID-19 response, and any other urgent government business that is essential to keeping government functioning whilst we prepare to deliver this year's budget. The government has undertaken not to progress its normal legislative programme while we are at alert level 3. I'm happy to take questions at the end on Parliament, but in terms of turning to education, under alert level 3, most children and young people will be continuing distance learning. Early learning centres and schools will be physically open for students up to year 10, for the families that need that. But children who can stay home should stay home. At-risk students and staff, including those who are over the age of 70, should also stay home, and they will be supported to do so. Residential and special schools will not reopen in the early stages of alert level 3 for children to physically attend. They may reopen later during alert level 3 if public health measures can be managed, and we are working through that at the moment. In the meantime, teachers and staff will continue to support these students whilst they remain at home. Things like the intensive wraparound service and OARS specialists continue to work with those students whilst they are at home. Education for students in years 11 and to 13 will continue remotely. For tertiary education, moving to alert level 3 means remote learning will continue, but where that's not possible, some facilities may reopen, with strict physical distancing rules in place. Students in hostels, halls of residence, or self-contained flats can stay there, again with strict rules. But if students went home to join their family bubble, they must stay home. They cannot return to student accommodation whilst we are at alert level 3. Providers are contacting their staff and students directly with more information, so they should be the first port of call for parents and students with questions. To prepare schools and early childhood centres to reopen next week, from today, we are allowing people to enter schools and early learning services for the purposes of cleaning, maintenance, and any other essential preparations that are required for them to reopen for a teacher-only day on Tuesday, the 28th of April. We expect most children who need to attend will be able to attend from the 29th of April. I do want to caution, though, it may take a bit longer for some schools and early learning services to be ready, and the Ministry of Education will be working closely with all of them. This is not a normal situation, and we will need to be doing things differently. The Ministry of Education has been meeting with sector groups to work through all of the practical issues. Over the last week, the Ministry has kept in close contact with the Early Childhood Education Advisory Group, and this will continue as we continue to work through the key guidance that's needed to support the early learning sector. We've also met with various principals groups around the country and with sector leaders, and we'll continue to do so. Discussions with the sector will continue as more detailed advice is released over the next week to support schools and early learning services. Our approach to reopening the education system is based on the latest public health advice. I know that physical distancing will be very difficult with children and young people, particularly the youngest children in early childhood education. We've reached the point where the Director General of Health is confident that there is no widespread undetected community transmission in New Zealand. So the chance of it coming through the door or through the gate in the first place is low. Keeping in mind that there are some 400,000 people going to work under alert level 3, just as we need to keep them safe, we're putting in place measures to keep children and teachers safe. At alert level 3, the approach in an ECE or school environment is designed to limit the number of people that children have contact with. All of the evidence does point to children having lower risk of getting infected and being affected by COVID-19, and it's possible to ensure that children are within the same group each day and that there is no mixing between groups. To be clear, it is safe from a public health perspective to have a group of children learning together. Parents can have confidence that the proposed approach is designed to keep children and their families and their teachers safe. It's really important, though, that parents fully support this approach by doing their bit. Keep children home if you can. Definitely keep children home if they are unwell, and seek medical advice about whether a child may need to be tested. Strictly maintain your family bubble outside of schools and early learning, and ensure that great hygiene practices are observed at all times. Our return to education, along with our restarting our economy, is largely on par with what we're seeing around the rest of the world. Although New Zealand is within a handful of countries in the enviable position of being able to transition out of lockdown and through the alert levels, so we must take the best position for our own needs. Distance learning is going to be with us for some time, for at least another 3 weeks, and I'd like to give you a brief update on the rollout of the distance learning program. We've started the distribution of 6,700 internet routers to households. Initially, those are being prioritised to schools that have students doing NCEA in deciles 1 to 3. We've also had 10,000 devices being distributed by schools to students. More than 1,250 internet-ready computers, that's either Chromebooks or laptops, have been shipped to students so far, and an additional 4,500 have landed in New Zealand and are being prepared for shipping. Again, the priority is NCEA students in levels and deciles 1 to 3. We have further equipment waiting to be shipped from overseas. In terms of the hard packs of materials that are going out to those who don't have access to digital devices, I can confirm that so far we have sent out 80,000 packs in English and 10,000 packs in Māori. And we know that people are tuning into our TV channels to see familiar faces like Susie Cato on the box. The latest information we've got is that 649,000 people tuned in during the first 3 days last week. The parental pages from the Ministry of Education's website had over 100,000 visits over those 3 days. So I want to thank the profession for their goodwill and their professionalism. To teachers, principals and centre leaders, they've got an important role to play in getting New Zealand back on its feet. I know they know that, and I want to thank them for it. So finally, to all of the parents out there who I know are juggling working from home, caring for your kids, my message to you is the same as it's been since the beginning. Be kind to yourself. We are not expecting parents to completely replace the classroom environment at home, so be reasonable in your expectations of yourselves. These are extraordinary times, so thank you for your understanding. We're doing our very best to minimise the impact on children's learning and on their wellbeing as we work together to keep New Zealanders safe. Happy to answer your questions.
Minister Hipkins, what are you doing to help those schools who might be disproportionately affected? Because, for example, in areas where both parents have to go back to work or where distance learning isn't an option.
So obviously, we're both parents have to go back to work. Distance learning isn't an option. That's one of the reasons why we're saying that we do need schools and early learning services to be able to provide support to those families. In some cases, it's also going to be possible, as families look to slightly enlarge their bubble, for them to be sharing care arrangements across other close relatives, for example, so that those kids can stay home if they don't need to go back.
There will be some schools, just by dint of their decile or where they are and the parents' work, that are going to be facing a lot more kids coming than some schools who are well set up for distance learning and may have more parents at home. I mean, is there a breakdown, and are you going to give specific support to those schools that may have many more kids than they might have anticipated or potentially be able to deal with?
So one of the things that this week gives us, and next Tuesday as well gives us, is an opportunity for schools to touch base with their parent communities and get an understanding of how many kids may be needing to come through the door next week when schools and early learning services start to reopen for kids from next Wednesday. If you look at the overall numbers, we're expecting around 400,000 New Zealanders to go back to work. We're still expecting around 1 million New Zealanders to be at home. So even in the situations where parents are going back to work, it may be that there are other family arrangements that can be put in place for those kids not to need to go back to school. And I'd certainly encourage that. So if you're enlarging your bubble slightly by bringing in an auntie or an uncle or someone else who could be at home with the kids because they're working from home anyway, that would be a good arrangement.
Are there going to be some situations, though, where schools are going to have to say, we can't take your kid, we've already filled our complement and we just can't take any more, and what would the response be in that particular situation?
Look, it's too early to say that. We've got, over this coming week, we're keeping very, very closely in contact with schools so that if they do start to get concerned that they're going to have a whole deluge of students that they couldn't adhere to public health guidance in bringing them back through the school gate, then we'll work with them, and it may be that we can help to spread some of that load. But it's very early at this point. We only made this these decisions very recently, so we do need to give the education system time to digest that and to reach out to their parent communities.
PCEs and schools that we've spoken to are extremely worried, and many won't be opening under level 3. Is that a choice that they can make?
Look, we're not being too heavy-handed in this. Obviously, I do want early learning services to reopen if they can. The arrangements are going to be different, though, because different centres have different student, child populations, different needs. They're physically quite different, so the physical layout of those services can be quite different. Some are very, very open, and some of them have smaller rooms and smaller spaces that make that preserving bubbles within them more possible. So we're working through that with each individual centre, and I'm not going to set a hard and fast rule around that. We are going to continue to support early learning services during level 3 so that we know that they'll be there at the end of level 2, when we move to level 2.
Centres are telling us it's impossible to socially distance children under 5. You have young children, how would you do it?
Look, as I've been very clear, one of the reasons that we've got guidance, and the Director General, I'm sure, would be happy to comment on this, one of the reasons we've got the public health guidance out there that we have is that we know that when you're dealing with a small group of very young children, under 5-year-olds, they are going to come into contact with each other. They are going to need to be picked up now and then by an adult. And so that physical distancing isn't going to be possible in that environment. So there are other things that we can put in place there. Keeping the bubble size quite small, making sure that we're doing all of the hygiene things we need to do, and of course, the work that we have all done as a country over the last 4 weeks to minimise the risk of COVID-19 coming through the door in the first place.
That's the Minister of Education, Chris Hipkins, taking questions from reporters. You can always listen to those media conferences in full, including every last question, on our website, rnz.co.nz, where we live stream 1 p.m. and what is occasionally a 3 p.m. or on Monday a 4 p.m.